We're not just going to talk about baptism, but we're going to celebrate baptism. We have some folks that have placed their faith in Jesus. And just up front, I want to say that this morning is not about changing anybody's mind about baptism. It's not about dishonoring any church's practice of baptism. But this morning is about what we believe and we practice as Gospel City Church about baptism. And we want to understand so that we can celebrate here at the end of our service some folks who have put their faith in Jesus. And so that's what this morning is about. And if you have some questions about baptism, we'd love to have a conversation with you in the upcoming weeks. But today is just simply understanding the meaning behind baptism, the practice of baptism, and then celebrating what it means. But let me just give you a little background into what baptism is. It comes from the Greek word baptizo, which means to dip or to dunk or immerse. And it was used to describe ships that were sunken in battle or people that were swimming or to take a cup and to dip it into a vat of wine. It was used all over. In fact, 200 years before Jesus shows up, it shows up in a recipe from a physician named Nicanor, and he put it in a recipe of how to make pickles. And in his recipe, he said to take a vegetable into and immerse it or dip it into a vinegar solution for up to 5 weeks. And after reading that, I thought, well, maybe we aren't holding people underneath the water long enough. And so it was a common everyday word, and it began to take on a religious context when people who were non-Jews converted to Judaism. And part of the practice in them being converted to being a Jew, they would go down to the river and they would ceremonially cleanse themselves by dunking themselves or immersing themselves in the river. And it was a sign, it was a symbol of their newfound faith. And it was a way for them to go public with their newfound faith as they're pledged their allegiance to the Hebrew God. And so we also see in Matthew chapter 3, the use of baptizo, because there was a guy named John, and he would go down to the river and he would begin to preach the Jordan River. And his message was, repent, for the kingdom of God is near. The Messiah is close. And the Messiah was the one that God had promised to send to the people of Israel to rescue or redeem or save the people of Israel. And a lot of the Jewish people thought that the Messiah was going to be this military leader and rise up and kick out the Romans because they were occupied by Rome. Some people thought, well, maybe he's a political leader. A few people thought maybe a religious leader, but probably not. But John's message was, repent, for the kingdom of God is near. And as people heard that message, they began to realize that they had turned their back on God, that they had abandoned God. And so they would recommit themselves to the Old Testament scriptures, and John would lead them down into the water, and he would hold them under the water. And people on the shore would say, well, he's baptizioing, he's baptizing them, okay? And since John was the only person practicing this, he earned the nickname John the... Oh, okay, you've heard of him. Yes, that's the reason why he's called John the Baptist. A lot of people think they called him John the Baptist because he couldn't dance. But that wasn't the case. He had a lot of rhythm. But they called him John the Baptist because that's what he practiced. Now, there's also a Greek word for the sprinkling, and it's reino. And you see this in context when a Jewish family would make their journey to the temple, and they would purchase an animal to be sacrificed, and they would bring it to the priest. The priest would sacrifice it on the altar, and the blood would spill on the altar, and the priest would take a palm branch and dip it into the blood, and he would sprinkle or reino that blood over the family, and their faith in this system of sacrifice that God had set up would set their sin apart for one more year. And of course, as we read the Old Testament, every sacrifice pointed to the ultimate and perfect sacrifice of Jesus. But the reason why we as Gospel City Church practice baptism the way we do is for two reasons. Number one, that's what baptism means. It means to immerse or dunk or to dip under the water. And secondly, that's what Jesus did. And so we want to model what Jesus tells us to do. And so those are the two reasons why we baptize. Now baptism is a picture. It's an outward picture. It's an outward sign of what has taken place in our lives, in our hearts, in our minds, of putting our faith in Jesus. And so it's a symbol of significance of what Jesus has done really for us through his life, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And so today we're going to look at the Apostle Paul and what he says about baptism so we can gain some understanding into really what we're witnessing today and what this all symbolizes. So if you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to turn to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2 this morning. If you didn't bring your Bibles, we're going to put it up on the screen for you. But Colossians is just right after Philippians. And we just spent 15 weeks in the book of Philippians. And so it's one page after Philippians is Colossians. And we're going to be in Colossians chapter 2 this morning. And we're going to begin in verse 9. This is what the Apostle Paul writes about baptism. He says, "For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form." In other words, that is one of the strongest statements in the Bible that Jesus is God. That every time, everything that God the Father is found in Jesus. In fact, Jesus says he's the exact representation of the Father. If you've seen the if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. In other words, he wasn't a knockoff. He wasn't a Xerox copy. He is God. And for anybody that wants to be baptized, first, you know, they have to put their faith in Jesus. And part of that is recognizing that Jesus is the Son of God. He is the divine Son of God. So he says, "For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And in Christ, you have been brought to fullness. And he is the head over every power and authority." Okay, so for those of us who have put our faith in Jesus, number one, we have to recognize that Jesus is the Son of God that was sent, that was given to the world to pay for the sins of the world. And number two, that Jesus is the highest authority. There's no other name, there's no other power, there's no other dictator, there's no other politician, there's no other candidate, there is no other name over the name of Jesus. Jesus is over all things in heaven and on earth and under the earth. That Jesus, and what that means is that Jesus is the ultimate authority. And if you and I are going to place our faith in Jesus, we need to understand that not only are we saying that he is the Son of God, but we are also saying he is the ultimate authority, and his authority is over mine. I am surrendering my rights to determine what's right or wrong. I am surrendering my rights to determine how I should live, but now I am yielding to the highest name, yielding my life to Jesus, and I want to follow him. So that's step one, and that's step two as we talk about baptism, okay? Paul goes on. Verse 11, he says, "In him," in Christ. In other words, it's not in us. It's not in our performance. It's not in our talent. It's not in our past. It's not in our potential. It says, "In him, you are all circumcised with the circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self ruled by the flesh was put off when you were circumcised by Christ." Now here's what Paul is saying. Now, circumcision for the Jewish people was a sign. It was a symbol of faith in God. It was a sign, it was a symbol of faith in the promises that God had made to Abraham, okay? Now, Abraham is where the whole Jewish thing started, okay? You remember him? You know, Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. I'm one of them, so are you. So let's just praise the Lord, right arm, left arm. You remember that? Okay, so here are the promises. that God made Abraham. Number one, I'm going to make your name great. We all know the song, okay? You know, it's an aerobic, you know, kind of deal. So we all know about Abraham. First promise, I'm going to make your name great. Second promise, your descendants are going to outnumber the stars. Well, at the time that God makes this promise, Abraham didn't have any kids, and he's well into age. And the third promise is, I'm going to bless the whole world through you. And Jesus comes from the line of Abraham. And so I'm going to make your name great. I'm going to make you into a great nation. That's the nation of Israel. And I'm going to bless the whole world through you. And so the practice of circumcision was faith in that. And so every baby boy was, Jewish baby boy was taken to a priest on the eighth day and was circumcised. And it was a sign that we trust in the promises that God made to Father Abraham. And baptism is a sign, it's a symbol of what God has done for us. And it has nothing to do with what we can do for God, but everything that God has done for us. And here, listen, that's the difference between religion and Christianity. Religion is about what we think what we can do for God. You know, if I do this or I do that, or if I, you know, say this or say that or give this or give that, then God will be happier with me. The God will love me more. But that's religion. Christianity is not what we can do for God, but what God has done for us through Jesus Christ. And baptism is a symbol that we have put our faith and that Jesus is the Son of God. He is the ultimate authority. And in him, I have salvation. I have forgiveness of sin. And that's what baptism is. It's a symbol that I am trusting in the work of Jesus. Verse 12, it says, having been buried with him in baptism, so I'm identifying myself with the death of Jesus, okay? And in which you were also raised with him through your faith, through the working of God who raised him from the dead. So not only are we identifying ourselves in with the death of Jesus, but we're also identifying ourselves with the resurrection of Jesus. And here's the deal. The same power that God used to raise his son from the dead, the word is dunamis, it's the exact same power that God uses to take us from being spiritually dead in our sins to be spiritually alive, adopted sons or daughters of God. It's the same working power of God. And when we put our faith in Jesus as the Son of God, he is the ultimate authority in the world and in my life, and he does all the work. He lived the life that I should live, and he died the death that I deserve, and I put my faith in him, and I'm identifying. I am aligning myself. I'm pledging my allegiance to him, and I want to show people that I'm identifying with his death, and I'm identifying with his resurrection. So he goes on, Paul says, when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, in other words, when we were powerless against our sin, when we were powerless against our evil desires, when we were still enemies of God, we hadn't even thought about God. We hadn't put our faith in Jesus. It says, the uncircumcision of our flesh, don't miss this. God made you alive with Christ. Paul is telling you and I, who does all the work? God does all the work. God makes us alive through the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. God does all the work through Jesus. And we tend to forget that sometimes. We tend to think, well, you know, if I could just, you know, do this or do that, then, you know, God will be, you know, he'll love me more. You know, or maybe I can earn my way into God's good graces. But here Paul says, he does all the work. And he says that God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us. What's that next word? He forgave us. What's that next word? All. What's that next word? All. We need to hang on to that because that's good news. He forgave us all of our sins. In other words, that's what we want. That's what we need. We don't want to have to pay for what we've done. And when we put our faith in Jesus, he doesn't just forgive some of our sins. He doesn't just forgive 99% of our sins. He forgives what? all of our sins. And some of us need to embrace that this morning because we've been carrying around this shame and this guilt. And yes, we put our faith in Jesus and, you know, we've heard the message that Jesus loves us and he forgives us, but I don't know if he can really forgive me for doing this. And we carry around this guilt and this shame, and we read that and practice that as if he forgave us of 99% of our sins, not all. And this is good news. He forgives us all of our sins, past, present, and future. He forgave us all of our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness. Because of our sin, what we earn, what we deserve is death, it's eternity, separated from God in anything good. We earned that. We deserve that. But through the cross, he canceled what we legally owed God, which stood against us and condemned us. Paul says in Romans, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So when we sin, we're no longer condemned. Now, there are consequences of our sin, but there's not that condemnation. There's not that guilt, that shame. It's all been taken away. He said, he has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. And I love this part. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. In other words, he rendered sin and death powerless, and then he just put it in their face. It's like a taunting call, it's almost. He's taunting sin and death. When he says he made a public spectacle, if this was a movie, in my mind, the soundtrack is this song is rising up. You kind of hear it in the background as Jesus is just letting sin and death have it, and he's in their face, and he's telling them that they are weak, they're powerless, and all of a sudden it's like, nah, 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 nah. Nah, 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 nah. Hey, 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 goodbye. Some of you know it. Let's sing it. Na, 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 na. Come on. Na, 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 na. Here we go. Hey, 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 goodbye. Let me grab Caleb's guitar. No, I'm just joking. I'm just going. That was my audition tape, by the way. Made a public spectacle of them. He's done that. And see, Satan literally means prosecutor. And it's like Satan is up in heaven and he is before the judge. And he's saying, yeah, but you know, man, Duke did this and he did that. And, you know, and David did this and he did that. And, you know, Lisa did this and Lisa did that. And he's just bringing up everything we've ever done. And Jesus, who is our defender, stands there and says, yes, I know. But they are forgiven. Their debt has been canceled out. Not by anything that they've done. Not because Duke's sitting front row today. But their sin has been canceled out through faith in me and what I have done on their behalf. And that is what we celebrate today. Because that's the decision these people have made. And the band's gonna come. They're going to be our little warm-up act for baptism today. You know, I was like the opening of the opening act. And so they're going to come and they're going to get us fired up as we come along and sing a song. But let me just make one thing clear. Baptism is not a requirement for forgiveness of sin. What Jesus did on the cross and in the tomb, and faith in him and what he has done, that's the lone requirement. This is just an act of obedience. This is just modeling what Jesus modeled for us. And we see that on the cross. I mean, Jesus is between two thieves. And one thief puts his faith in Jesus and says, Jesus, remember me when you enter into your kingdom. What does Jesus say? He doesn't say, too late, pal, you can't be baptized. He says, today you'll be with me in paradise. Baptism is not a requirement. It's just an act of obedience. And Jesus said, follow my example in all things, and baptism falls under all things. And it's really the first act of obedience for all of us as we pledge our allegiance to Jesus, the ultimate authority, the Son of God, the one who takes away the sins of the world. And so today, that's what we're going to celebrate. That's what we're going to remember. And so in our baptism classes, we always come around four questions as we try to clarify, well, who should be baptized? I mean, should I be baptized? Well, how do you answer to these questions? Do you believe that Jesus is the divine Son of God? His name is above every name, every authority. Yes, I believe that. Do you believe that sin keeps you from God? That we have that the penalty of our sin is separation from God for all eternity. Do you believe that you have personally sinned against a holy, righteous God? Yes. Have you asked Jesus to take away the penalty of your sin and give you his righteousness, not because of any performance or anything you've done, but because of everything Jesus has done on your behalf? Yes. And are you committing to follow Jesus for the rest of your life? Not perfectly, but today I'm going to follow him, and I'm just going to model what he modeled for me. Yes. And maybe those answers hit a little differently than it did when you were 8 years old. Maybe you're here today, you've never been baptized. And today's application for you is not to get baptized, but today's step for you is to tell us, write us a note saying, hey, I want to talk to somebody, because we're already setting our next baptism date. And there's some people in this room that are grown adults that need to be baptized, because you need to follow Jesus in obedience. Not that it saves you, not that it makes you a better Christian, but because Jesus says, follow me. Go public with your newfound allegiance. So let's pray. And then I'll come back and we'll get baptism rolling. Father, thank you so much for Jesus and all that he's accomplished on our behalf. Let us rest.